is the sad sequel to the book of Proverbs. Back in Proverbs, Solomon teaches his children practical wisdom to live a peaceful and godly life. But we find here in Ecclesiastes, Solomon is admitting that he has been foolish, for he has failed to take his own advice. For many of us, it's easy to give good, sound, biblical advice, but hard to heed the very advice that we give. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity, or empty, worthless, or meaningless. This is how Solomon begins this book. But brothers, this book is of Ecclesiastes, it really is a written sermon meant to warn us not to waste our lives. We find that we are asked relevant, searching questions about the meaning of life. We are exhorted to live a life shaped by godly values and that has eternal significance. To live a life pleasing in the sight of God by putting our spiritual priorities first and foremost. Because we find by time Solomon gets to the end of the book, he declares to us that the only way we can live a meaningful life and not waste it, he says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man.
Amen.
For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or bad or evil. In our text here this morning, it is a part of this call to live a meaningful life and give us some practical ways to achieve this. We will see that Solomon is encouraging us that if we're going to live a meaningful life, and a life fearing God and keeping his commandments, we're going to see that if we're going to do this, we can't do it alone. We must value relationships more than rivalries. We must value people more than possessions, and we must value discipleship rather than detachment. I don't think I really got that over to you, so I'm going to say it again.
Amen.
If we are going to live a meaningful and fruitful life, we must value relationships more than rivalries, people more than possessions, and discipleship rather than detachments.
Amen.
Chapter 4, beginning at verse number 9, the Bible says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. Or if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. He says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. One of the saddest issues we face today is this idea of individualism. There are so many of us that prize ourselves and not asking for help, even in our own time of need. Maybe we look at this as being weak, soft, or not manly. We have heard it said many a times over that we cannot be a Lone Ranger Christian. But the stark reality is that many of us, in some ways, have this Lone Ranger mentality, even if we don't realize it. This is very dangerous and very unstable. For in Genesis chapter 1, we are told that God created the heavens and the earth and all that's in it. And he said that it was good. Then we also see in that same chapter 1 that God created man, and he said it was very good. But then we get to chapter 2. And something happened. We find the very first thing that God said that wasn't good. And he says, it is not good that the man should be alone. In our text this morning, Solomon gives us several reasons why it's not good for man to be alone. And first, I want to suggest, like verse 1 says, two is better than one when we got work. Solomon here is giving us a picture of one who is farming his land and getting his crops ready for the harvest. This is hard work for the farmer. He labors and he toils. He works hard to bring in a good crop. He knows that he has to do it for bread and meat. For if he don't get his hands dirty and work, his family will not survive. Solomon suggests that if one was to toil, though, with another, if he had some help working in the fields, he would receive a better or good reward. You know, farming is hard work, manual, strenuous labor. But how many of us know that being a good husband is hard work? How many of you know that being a good father is hard work? How many of y'all know that being a Christian is hard work? And doing the work of the Lord is hard work. But what Solomon is trying to show us is, in this verse number 1, this work, yet it may be hard if we had somebody else walking with us, working with us to do this work, then we have a good reward for that toil and that work that we put in. If we would accept the fact that two is better than one, we would receive this reward and we can rejoice together. It would not be so strenuous or hard for us if we didn't do it by myself. I believe this is why Solomon tells us in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, we all know it, iron sharpens iron. And one man sharpens what?
Another.
He sharpens who? Himself?
Another.
It's easy to do things with somebody else. Much harder to do it on your own. I believe that this is why Jesus, when he calls his disciples, he sent them out one by one.
Two by two.
Two by two. I believe in Acts chapter 13, when the Lord told the apostles to set aside Saul and Barnabas to do work, he set aside Saul and Barnabas. Mm-hmm. You may say, well, they separated. Yeah, they did. But guess what? Even when they separated in Acts chapter 15, Paul took Silas and Barnabas took Mark.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Why? Because two is better than one. Two is better than one when we got to do some work. It doesn't matter what kind of work that is. Working at your secular job, working in church, work at home. When you got some help, you get a better reward. Amen. And yet, there are still those of us that's out there, we want to work alone. I mean, it don't matter what we do. We don't want no help. We feel like other people, they just gonna get in our way. They're gonna mess things up if we allow them to work with us. Solomon, I'm sure, pondered all of this because he was the wisest man in the world. I'm sure he pondered all of this. I'm sure he thought in his mind, well, they just gonna believe that, you know, this person gonna mess things up, or this person just don't understand, or this person just don't get it if I ask for help, if I bring them along with me. I'm sure Solomon pondered all of this. But yet, when he penned this, he never once entertained that thought. Therefore, I'm convinced that if we're in the mindset of working alone is in any way better than working with others, we too are playing the fool. Mm. John tells us in John, the 4th chapter, 36th verse, it says, already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. Brothers, working together leads to more satisfying outcomes than working alone. Two is better than one when we got to work. When we go to work, when we at work, two is better than one. Verse 10 says, for if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Next, I must suggest that two are better than one when you fall down. Mm. Solomon says that two are better than one because if we fall, we got somebody there to pick us up. Mm. We should all find a great comfort in that, knowing that in our deepest, darkest hour, we got a friend who sticks closer to us than a brother. Yes. Someone to help us to get up and dust ourselves off. Can we all agree that we need a friend in our life like that?
Amen.
Yes, I do realize and understand that we have the Lord, and I believe that Solomon knew this as well, yet he specifically says that the friend who is walking with us would be the one to pick us up, to pick up his fellow. It's always good to have somebody to pull your coattail. Somebody who isn't afraid to tell you when you're wrong. Every man in here under the sound of my voice may fall. There's not one of us in here so perfect that we can't fall. Fall right in the sin. Don't matter what road you're on. Don't matter if you're on a slippery slope. It doesn't matter if you're doing everything right. You still may fall. And Solomon here is telling us that if you fall, we got somebody there to pick us up. This is how we encourage each other. This is how we build each other up. In Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Paul here is suggesting that anyone could fall into a transgression. Anyone. But then he also is suggesting that if those who are spiritual, those spiritual brothers of the church, those spiritual brothers in your circle should restore him. Why do I draw that out? Why do you think I draw that out? Just throw something out there, huh?
So many people don't.
There you go, right there. See, instead of casting folk out when they fall, instead of kicking them to the curb, ye who are spiritual should be trying to restore the one who's fallen, who has failed. And this also suggests that if Paul is saying, ye who are spiritual, there must be some folk in the church who ain't spiritual. So those folk you want to stay away from. Don't be trying to get them to restore anything. Because I'm just reading the Bible. That's what the Bible says. Just read the Bible. But let's not be so quick to shun folk when they're in sin or falling into sin. Let's try to restore them. That's what those of us who are spiritual in the church. But the one who has fallen, to the one who has sinned, if you are living in selfish isolation, trying to do life all on your own, living out that Lone Ranger Christian doctrine, be warned.
Yes.
Solomon says that we could fall so hard that we can't even pick our own self up. Because like I said before, there's not none of us in here so spiritual.
Excuse me, I'm trying to talk to you.
There's not none of us in here so spiritual that we can't fall. From the preacher to the pew, we can fall. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. Brothers, we need each other, and God has designed this Christian walk to be walked together in unity, side by side. I got your back, and you got mine. Not I got mine, and you get yours. No. It's not designed that way. Are we living like this? Are we fellowshipping this way? I mean, not sometime. Not part of the time. Not every now and then. Not just on Sunday morning or when we come to men's prayer breakfast, when we have a men's prayer breakfast. I mean, are we really walking like this? Something to ponder.
Mm-hmm.
Something to think about. There's not a day that goes past throughout the week that we shouldn't be in tune with each other.
Yeah.
Tough day. I mean, we deal with so much throughout the week. And we all by ourselves? We ain't got that ride or die on the side of us? Somebody we can call on? Somebody that's patting us on the back, encouraging us, pulling our coattail when we're going the wrong way? This is how we should be living. This is what we see when the church began. They wasn't just doing church on Sunday. They was house to house. They had everything in common. They was house to house, side by side. They was being persecuted. The world was on their trail. But they still bonded together, and the church grew to what it is now. You think one man did that? This is the mentality we got to have. This is the life we need to live. And Solomon is telling us here, man, you can't do it by yourself. Get some help. Amen. Solomon says, woe to us if we're not living like this. Woe to us. Brothers, Solomon also said in Proverbs that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Two is better than one. Two is better than one when we're working. Two is better than one when we're falling. And I would like for us to consider that two are better than one when we're out in the cold. Verse 11 says, again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Most of the time, let me just address this right up front, right now. Most of the time when we hear this verse in a sermon, the preacher is preaching about marriage. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, do we agree?
Yeah.
Most of the time when we hear that, preacher talking about marriage. Yet, nowhere in the passage or around the passage did Solomon speak on marriage. I mean, if he did, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't see it. I looked for it. Don't get me wrong. I do understand, you know, I can see why they use it this way, but with a closer examination of the text and a little deeper study, I come to realize that Solomon here, what he's really doing is giving a picture of two travelers. Traveling. They're in the cold. Nighttime catches them. They can't see where they got to go, so they got to stop, they got to rest, and it's cold outside. So they lay beside each other. Keep warm. You have a far better chance to make it through a cold, frigid night if you land next to somebody and the body heat is, y'all warm each other up with the body heat versus you laying there by yourself. You got a much better chance of surviving and making it to the next day. But to go even further, I'm in the mindset of Solomon uses this metaphorically. And this has been suggested as well. Because when you really, really think about it, I mean, let's put on your sanctified thinking caps, all right? Can y'all do that for me? Amen. Amen. Y'all in here with me? We together? We on the same page? Y'all tracking with me? So, now, just think about it. Life sometimes can leave you in the cold. Mm-hmm. Are we in agreement on that?
Yes.
Do we all agree with that?
Yes.
We all go through seasons where we feel like we have just been left in the cold, where everyone seems to have a cold heart against us. Everywhere we turn, we get a cold shoulder. It could be at home with the ones we love. Be on our jobs, at work. And it could be right here. Even right here in the church. Brothers and sisters, the very people who we thought had our backs seem to just leave us in the cold. We may have or may have not done anything to them. It doesn't matter. They just leave us out in the cold. We feel it. We experience it. Stuck. I don't know. You ever been there? You ever been there?
Yeah.
I mean, we got folk that give us the cold shoulder that don't even know us. Just look us up inside our head and just don't like the way we look and just throw shade. Don't like the clothes we got on. Make it a problem. What I come to tell you this morning is, if you have ever been left out in the cold, if you're left out in the cold right now, if you are feeling a frostbite down to your core, thanks be to God that we have, if we have heeded the instruction of Solomon, if we have taken his advice that two is better than one, when this cold world throws a snowball at us, we got somebody right there with us to give us the emotional heat that we need to melt the ice, this cold world.
Amen. Amen.
Coming alongside of us, provoking us to love and good works. Praying with us and for us in our time of need. Oh, may God give us a heart for true Christian fellowship. May God give us a heart for true Christian discipleship. Two is better than one, my brothers. Two is better than one when we work together, when we gotta work. Two is better than one when we fall down, and two is better than one when we in the cold. When everybody coming against us, trouble on every side, have you ever tried to face that by yourself?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to face that alone? Did you get anywhere far?
Nope.
When we can grasp the concept, and the idea of having a rappy, that's what we used to call them, rappies. When I was in the street, in the world, you know, you go to jail, you can call them. If you do something with somebody else, you got a rappy. That's your rappy, because now they're open. So when you got a rappy, it's your ride or die.
Wow.
You know, that rappy can pick you up, you know. Can pick you up where you go to. But finally, two is better than one, like this part right here. We need to fight.
Amen.
That's what he says. Yeah. Two is better than one when you got to fight. When you're in a fight, when you're in a fight. I love it. I love it. I love it. Is there anybody here ever been jumped?
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask that question. Going out there, you ever been jumped?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, for me, coming up on the side of the tracks, I came up. I'm just gonna keep it real with you. No, it's okay. There were certain places I just couldn't go. And if I did go, I definitely couldn't go there by myself.
Yeah.
I come up on the west side.
Yep.
On Cicero. Certain places I just couldn't go. I better not get caught up under the tracks. GE's over there and get me, you know what I mean? Especially when they pick up by myself.
Yeah.
But there were certain neighborhoods I couldn't go. And I remember one time, the little bit of high school that I did have, I only went 1 year, but that 1 year that I did go, I could remember I went to Lincoln Park High School on the north side. And my mama, you know, give me bus fare to get way up to school and get back. But, you know, I'm so smart, I decide, well, you know, I'm gonna spend my bus fare on something else. I figure out a way, you know, to find some more bus money, you know, to get home, you know, or I'll walk if I got to. I ain't tripping, you know. This is what my mindset. So I spend my little old bus fare, you know, I hang out with the guys, you know, we cut all the classes. It was like 4 months periods. We was at all up, you know. And so after school let out, everybody going home, getting on the bus. Hey, see you later, man. You know, I'm playing the game, ain't got a dime to get on the bus. Too proud to ask somebody to borrow me something. So, what happens? Everybody leave, it's getting late in the afternoon. Well, you know, you got to make that trip from north side to the west side. So I start walking. And I'm walking down Armitage. Well, it's going to be all right. I'm walking, just walking down Armitage, minding my business. I'm going to go on to the house. And then all of a sudden, I see like three or four dudes, you know. I'm walking towards them. I'm here. And they like over here. So you know, you're looking at them, but you ain't looking at them. And so I see them, you know, I have to call them by eye. And they just give me that look. You know, the look.
Yeah, I know that look.
You know, they give you that look. That look. And I'm like, I'm saying to myself, man, if I don't take off and start running, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I took off. Gone. I'm running down Armitage. I dipped in a couple alleys, dipped in gangways. Well, boy, they was a little bit faster than me.
Uh-oh.
They knew the neighborhood a little bit better than I did.
Uh-oh.
And when they grabbed a hold of me, they laid hands on me. They laid some good hands on me. And I had quite a few bumps and bruises and aches and pains. And it wasn't until, I don't know who gangway I was in, getting beat down. I don't know who it was, but the little old lady came out, and I was saved by the little old lady. and she just sit there and, baby, and matter of fact, I think she was Mexican or something. I barely understand what she was saying, but I understood compassion. I understood that real well, you know. And man, when I think back on it though, it's like, man, I wonder what would have happened if I wasn't walking by myself. You know, if I had one or two guys with me, you know, maybe the outcome would have been different, you know. And this is the idea Solomon is trying to. He's trying to show us here that if you got somebody else with you, you might not get beat down. You might have a fighting chance. You know, it makes me think of the story of the Good Samaritan. And the text talks about a certain man as he travels along his journey, and he's attacked by some robbers, lying in wait with no one to help him. He too would be down. And he was left on the side of the road half dead. The priest saw him, the Levite saw him. They didn't offer no help. He just walked on by on the other side of the road. They ain't really gonna walk past him. It was not until the Good Samaritan came along that his wound was and well-being was attended to. Quite often, we focus in this story, though, on the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite. Like I said before, have you considered
my story, or even a Good Samaritan story, how would it play out if the man wasn't traveling alone? It could be that he may not even get attacked. You know, robbers, they kind of like coyotes, you know, they attack the man in packs, you know. They're in a pack, you know, they prey on the weak. But it could be that even if he would have gotten attacked, maybe they wouldn't have prevailed. Maybe he would have had a fighting chance if somebody was on his side traveling with him. Why do I say this? Y'all been in here with y'all in here with me? Why Amen. Do I say this? Because two
are better than one.
Good Lord, come on. Y'all gotta talk back to me when you can.
Could you start over
again? Amen. Amen.
Now, all kidding aside, I mean, it's serious, but all kidding aside, that's a physical fight, right? Wounds heal, bruises heal. But as I heard to a close, how many of us know that we got an enemy of our souls?
Amen.
The Bible says in Ephesians 6, chapter 12, verse, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly places. Men, hear me. All of us in here are in the fight. All of us. Well, as a matter of fact, it's more than a fight. We're in a war. All of us. We are fighting some spiritual forces, some cosmic powers of evil out there that's after our souls, and Solomon is reminding us that it is suggested, it is wise, and we have a much better chance in this war with somebody else alongside us than on our own. Because the devil and his imps are always on our trail, and we will constantly be running into him. And if we never run into the devil, this is just a side note I want to throw out there. We're going to constantly be running into the devil. Constantly. Because we're in a war. We're in a fight. But if we don't never run into the devil, just a little side note,
running with the devil.
Y'all might be running in the same direction, okay? Something to think about. So you might need to get a coattail pulled. Two is better than one. Two is better than one when we work. Two is better than one when we fight. Two is better than one when we're in the cold. And three is even better. Solomon says the threefold cord is not quickly broken. There's much I can say right here, but for the sake of time and my ability, I'm only going to say one or two things. I will say that we should always, and now, consider our early church brothers and sisters, the fellowship and the friendship that they had. They left a model of walking together and not alone. They have given us many examples of what can be accomplished together. Let us pray for this type of friendship. Let us pray for this type of fellowship. Let us pray for this type of unity. Starting right here with the men in this room. If God is with us, who can be against us? Nobody, right? I would be remiss not to remind you of one promise from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. And this is different.
Praise God.
Yeah. Have we ever imagined what we can get accomplished, what we can get done if we just work together? We wonder why things are not panning out the way they're supposed to be panning out. We wonder why, you know, we got some getting bogged down with the fellowships and meals and why. We wonder why it's always the same ones doing certain functions and certain things around the church. If we can start living out this model right here, all that will begin to change. All that will begin to change. But we got to start somewhere. So why not start with our own self? Right? If we start with our own self, that will become organic, contagious. You know, we all should have, we've talked about this many times over, we all should have another friend. Somebody that we really talk to, be transparent with, let it all hang out. Not somebody who's going to coddle you. Yeah, they will encourage you and lift you up in your time of need, but also when you are the one in the wrong, when I'm in the wrong, they're not afraid to tell me, hey man, you're going in the wrong direction. We all need that.
That's a
beautiful friend. That's what I believe Solomon is trying to teach us this morning. That is the keys to living a true and meaningful life. How are we going to obey God, trust Him, fear Him? How are we going to uphold our duty by ourselves? We can't even do that by ourselves. We need help. We need help. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you, Lord, for this short period.